The gospel for today is, I, the Lord God, wear green. When you learned to swim, what was it like for you? Some people never learned. Okay? Some kids take to water like a fish, you know. They don't have any problems with that. And some scream at the top of their lungs. It's frightening to go underwater. It's one thing to sit in the bathtub and splash and play and, you know, especially as a child, you might have even toys in the tub and things like that. But it's a whole nother thing to be in a swimming pool where it's bigger than you and your head goes under and you have to hold your breath. It's a whole different environment. And children don't want to give up breathing. It's amazing, isn't it? I don't understand it, you know. They like it where they're at. It's a comfort zone for them. Today's gospel reading is not about immersion. It's not about going under the water and holding your breath. But it is about entering a new environment. It is about a change. It is about what John the Baptist called repentance. And for most of us, repentance is uncomfortable, sometimes painful. Well, very often, frightening. It's something some people, in fact, I know one individual, he refused to say, I'm sorry. It's amazing how some people just cannot go and take that step. To say I have failed, to say I have messed up, to say, you know, I have done wrong, without having it be generic. Well, nobody's perfect. You've heard that, right? Yeah. Can be awkward to even painful. And the fear that we have is that it can't get better. We have that attitude about repentance. We have that attitude about the dentist. We have that attitude about going to doctors. It's going to be painful and it can't get better. Sometimes I remember having that attitude about school. As a student, I thought it was painful and it would never get better. But John the Baptist preaches at the top of his voice in this way of calling out the people to repent and to prepare the way of the Lord. And what he's doing is he's telling us that, sort of like in a medical procedure, he says, this is going to hurt a little. But unlike the medical profession, who has no guarantees, who cannot control tomorrow, who has, they can tell you mathematically the success rate and all of that. But unlike the medical profession, John the Baptist says, it is better. On the other side of repentance, there is forgiveness. And going through that repentance is not about drama. It's not about how bad you feel, because the worse you feel, the better the forgiveness is, or the more you're forgiven. It's not about that. It is about the basics that repentance is acknowledging that we have sinned against God, that we have offended him, that we are unworthy of anything but his judgment. Not his judgment, you're okay, but his judgment of condemnation. his judgment of eternal punishment. And that's not something we want to hear. It's not something we want to admit. I mean, we have enough difficulty with performance reviews, you know, in the workplace, because we don't want to hear how we've fallen short. We don't want to hear how we messed up. Even though you can put a nice spin on it, this way you know what to work on. This way you know how you'll get better. My sinful flesh says, How about yours? But even more so with God, we don't want to admit we failed. I mean, just think about it. How many arguments have you ever had defending a wrong position? Justifying a wrong action? Blaming somebody else for your choice? I mean, as kids, it's he started it, right? It's that way. I mean, did any of you ever say before your parents, I started it, I did it, it's all my fault? You know? And then bend over to get ready in our day, right? You got a whooping. You know, if you had a fender bender, did you ever just, you know, you couldn't wait to go home to meet your parents and say, there is now a dent in the car. Here are the keys. I know I'm grounded. I think I'll go to my room now. You know, we just don't do that. And in a greater way, John the Baptist is calling people to do that before God. I mean, it's different when we do it before our parents, because if we know enough as we get older about our parents, we can say, Dad, I didn't do anything that you didn't do. You know, we hear stories about mom and dad and what they did when they were young, and you know. Or we can talk about our uncles and aunts, or our older siblings, or the younger ones, or cousins, you know. There's always somebody that we know that's in a mess worse than us. And even if it's not a relative, you can point to people in the headlines, you know, and name somebody who's done something really, really wrong. Well, I didn't do that. I don't understand. How come you're so mad? You know, it's like it's not that bad. But see, with repentance of sin, we recall the words in the book of Romans, the wages of sin is death. It's not the car keys taken away. It's not being grounded. It's not staying after school writing lines on the chalkboard. It's not the things of this world. It's eternal. And when some of the people later on, it's recorded in scriptures, they came out to John, and John even calls them a brood of vipers, you know. In their self-righteousness, they came out, but they wouldn't be baptized. They didn't need the forgiveness of sins. They weren't going there. For them, that would have been the ultimate disgrace and the highest of pain. And sometimes we are in that kind of denial. So John calls out, as the word calls out to us today, to repent. To turn to God, as we did in our confession. And in that generic confession, it's the easy, we have sinned. And I'm really thinking of a lot of people in the room as the we, you know. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I can name a few, I might say under my breath, you know. I remember as a pastor starting out, it was the first person singular pronoun. It was not the we, it was I. I have sinned. I have fallen short. I have offended thee in thought, word, and deed. I have taken the name of the Lord God in vain. I have had idols in my life. I have, and then sometimes it would walk you through the Ten Commandments, and it would be specific about the kinds of sins that we have in our lives and the things that we sometimes even hold on to because we don't want to let go. To let go is painful. To let go is to admit you have it and you're releasing it. If I hold on to it, you know, I can still be in denial. I had stolen a pack of cigarettes again. I'm sorry this offends you, but I did it. And I even had a cigarette hidden on my person. My parents do not smoke. Do you know what cigarette smoke smells like to a non-smoker? Okay. So I walk in the house. I quickly go to the restroom, gargle with Listerine, and I come back out, and I'm now in the kitchen because Mom's making cookies, and she goes, "Do you have cigarettes on you?" I go, "No." "Have you been smoking?" "No." In the presence of the smell, with possession on my person, I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty. And yet I lied. We do that before God. "Have you lusted?" "No." "Have you been, you know, coveting?" "No." "Have you been angry?" "No. I just don't like them, but I'm not angry about it." You know, we have all kinds of ways to mask, to hide, to deny, to redefine that we have sinned and we have something to repent. But now it feels like we're back in that medical clinic. And the doctor or the nurse is there and they're going to say, "Okay, we need to get this out. This is going to hurt a little bit." And at that moment, we're ready to leave the room. At that moment, we don't want to stay. At that moment, we don't want to continue. Even though the next phrase is, "But it will get better." We're doing this so you can heal. In the message of John the Baptist, it's not all that heaviness alone. For John has got this message of the sweet proclamation of the gospel, prepare the way of the Lord, because the Lord was coming. In fact, the Lord arrived. And there he was baptized in the River Jordan. And there the voice of God was heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And there the proclamation of who Christ is. And in the gospel, we are reminded that as in our liturgy today, that we are united with Christ in his death and we're united with Christ in his resurrection. And that means it's not about it can get better. It's about it does. It will be better after repentance, because after repentance is the forgiveness of sins. It's better than pain medication. Because pain medication, you constantly have to take. But the repentance of sin means the sin is removed and the forgiveness is granted. And there it is. Our challenge in our world today is that we want a painless church. We want a painless church in any number of ways. We want church to be short. That's called a pain in the backside. Okay? You know? We want church to be convenient. That's painless to the schedule. But then even within the message of the church, we want it to be painless. We want to come with our baggage and we want to leave with our baggage because we like our baggage just the way it is, even though we're miserable. But it's the misery we know and the misery we understand, and we want to hold on to it. We don't know what it will be like if we go under the water. We are that child at the pool for the first time. I can breathe out here. I don't know what it's going to be like holding my breath. I don't know what it's like to swim. This I know. And so we run away from God. Or we hide ourselves. Even in his house, we hide ourselves. Because we have this really foolish thought. Better the pain that I know than to take on a new pain. And the devil has convinced us that if we repent and lay it before God, you'll only be asking for more trouble. And that's not true. Because the repentance for the forgiveness of sins is for healing, for wellness, for wholeness. Healing within, even when the body still can hurt from arthritis and any other physical condition, the repentance of the forgiveness of sins is that inside we have the peace of God that surpasses all the human things of this world. Given the forgiveness of sins, we are restored in the hope that we have in Christ, that no matter how bad it gets here, heaven is my home, and it is a guarantee that is a promise of God. Forgiveness of sins is the reminder that we are called daughters and sons of the Lord Most High, that we are adopted into the family of God, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the forgiveness of sins is that God in Christ has prepared a place for us, that we're not left out. Forgiveness of sins is that which is renewing and comforting and loving and merciful. But you know, our sinful nature doesn't even like some of those. How many of you hate to cry? You don't want to shed a tear. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be humbled. We have these things about us, these things that we don't like. We don't like being shown mercy. We don't like, well, I don't want to need, I'm not needing mercy. You know, we're tough. We're rugged. We do not want to be humbled. We want to stand tall. And the problem is what we're standing in is our arrogance of our sin. That I'm not in need of a Savior all that much. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Can be, and by some, is only a painful thought. But for me, it's life. To lay my sins at the foot of the cross enables me to go free of that burden. To lay my sins and to know that Jesus died for them means I don't have a debt before the Lord God Almighty. To lay my sins on Jesus is to know the freedom of what it means to be living by faith, free from sin and free from the hostage holding of Satan himself and free from my own weaknesses. It's not that I don't have them. I do have them. But the forgiveness of sins restores me daily. And every day that I live in that, it's a proclamation of the gospel now and the gospel yet to be in its fullness, that it is good to be in the hands of the Lord God, and it is good to live in his grace. It is good to be a recipient of his mercy. It is good to be covered in the righteousness of Christ, and it will be awesome and wonderful and mighty to one day stand before the Lord God, removed of this veil of sin, and to stand in the glorified body, empowered by Christ, saying, I am no longer the poor, miserable sinner. I am only his child. Repentance is that door in that journey to stepping into the very kingdom of God. So are you willing to step out of the pain But that means you have to admit it. Are you willing to let go of the idols of the heart and the frustrations of the mind and the burdens that you carry that you want to hold on independent from him? That's what John is calling us to. It is what the gospel is all about. Prepare the way of the Lord. We live in his way now. And ultimately, we will be with him for everlasting life. Repentance is God saying, this is going to hurt. And the next breath, you will, without a doubt, be better. Amen.